This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
I've ever had.
I knew you'd love the Tom Jones Museum. I'm sorry we didn't make it to the Hall of Sideburns.
Here we are.
But do you live in this hotel?
Oh, just until I find a new apartment.
But you can come live at our house. My little sister's almost 15. It's time she moved out on her own.
I needed to laugh today. Thank you.
Oh, I don't want this to end.
It doesn't have to.
CKLN listeners, you are listening to CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, Rogers Cable Box 947. This is Rude Awakening. This is your host BK, aka Black Krishna, here broadcasting from Ryerson University from the CKLN radio station. Apologize for slight technical delays here in the studio. Still having some issues. I'd like to just put it out an open call there. You can email me at blackchristian@gmail.com. We should be doing a few things here. We should be getting some help, and you know, there's just absolutely no reason why, you know, we shouldn't ask for it. So if you'd like to volunteer your services to help us out, technically, we could use some technical people, people who know computers, people who know broadcast equipment. Then there is an official process, not process, there's a formal sort of recognition by the board here that you got to go through. But, you know, I'm just going to put up an ad on Craigslist today, and I'm just going to say, hey, you can approach us. I'm not saying you can't help us. I'm saying that this program here wants you to help us, and everybody here is working hard to get the station in tip-top shape. And doing the best job we can for you, because we do have to compete out there in a commercial culture. And so here on the 14th of June, 2010, with about 12 days till Christmas for the police state, 12 days till Christmas for the New World Order, with respect to the G20 meeting traumatically assaulting the city of Toronto, it's important for everybody who's in a position to question, you know, what the heck they're doing here and what the heck they're doing to us when they didn't have to do what they're doing to us here in this big city involving people who don't want to be involved. You know, if you're a protester who wants to go, yell at this thing and cause some mayhem or not, or just peacefully hang out and express your opinion and yell at a bunch of cops there just doing their jobs while the globalist leaders are inside behind closed doors, then that's fine. That happened in Montebello, Quebec in August 2007, where there was a meeting about the SPP, Security and Prosperity Partnership, the sequel to NAFTA, basically, merging Canada, America, and Mexico into a North American Union. Film premiere coming up this Friday called United We Fall at the Bloor Cinema. United We Fall, June 18th, Bloor Cinema. At 7 to 9 p.m. and that's this Friday. So go to pressfortruth.ca for details on that. Learn a bit about the merger behind the scenes of our various bureaucracies, and with respect to that, you know what essentially happened is that there was this meeting between the leaders of Canada, America, and Mexico in Montebello, Quebec, a small town in Quebec, in August 2007, August 20th or so, 18th, 19th, 20th, something like that. And in 2007, my colleague Mark Bills actually went to that to cover that for our Tuesday Rude Awakening show back when I did Rude Awakening on Tuesdays, whereas I now currently host Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 6 to 7 a.m. My colleague JP hosts on Fridays. So here's the thing. That was an event that took place in a small town, ticked off the small town, but, you know, they got little economic benefits out of it, and they could always skedaddle for a bit. And about 1,500, 2,000 protesters showed up to clash with riot police there, and it was all done outside of a big city where the only people that were there were either people that were paid to be there or asked to be there, the people attending the summit or the cops. And soldiers and intelligence agencies and whoever protecting the summit. And then there was the protesters who want to, you know, play Red Rover, Red Rover. You know, we want to try and get over that wall or whatever. And so it's a completely insane model of activism. Been around for about 50 years. And it is controlled. I put up a bunch of posters last Thursday, I think, around Toronto, basically explaining how since 1954, the U.S. Congress Carroll Reese Commission, C-A-R-R-O-L-L, Reese, R-E-E-C-E Commission, found out that wealthy Americans like Ford, Rockefeller, and so on, only put their money into tax-exempt foundations so that they could use grants to control activism and academia and other areas. But, you know, that's the key right there, because academia also includes science and activism includes a lot of the social responses to problems we face. And so you'll have the Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, Mellon Scaife Foundation, Trillium Foundation, Go watch PBS. Go watch PBS Bill Moyers. If you wonder why, Bill Moyers, veteran journalist who's done amazing stuff, even did a piece called The Secret Government back in the early 90s, really exposing the shadow government behind the scenes that runs policy at the behest of the New World Order, the Anglo-American establishment. But if you wonder why Bill Moyers doesn't go very far, it's because it'll say, you know, Bill Moyers on PBS, brought to you by or with the generous help of these foundations. And it'll have like seven or eight, you know, rich people foundations there. And if you want that rich people foundation money, well, you don't talk too much crap about rich people. And when rich people are running your society and they're managing, you know, Wagwan, then, you know, it's, hey, it's your call to make, really. But that's neither here nor there. That is neither here nor there. The point is that they didn't have to do this here. They did not have to. They did not have to have this thing in the middle of this city. You know, they didn't have to have this this massive show of force in the middle of this city. That was not necessary. It is not necessary, and it's disturbing to me that we accept this, and it's disturbing to me that it's taking place and it's going forward. I'm not too good for this. I'm not above this or above that or below this or below whatever. But I am saying that if you do want to stand for something, then expose who these people are before the people who already know who they are, or at least know something about them and feel some ways about them, decide to get together in the middle of downtown Toronto and scream, "We're really mad." Well, you know, half of them scream, "We already know." And maybe I should get more political in this, but if this is what you're into doing, then you're not into helping the people you say you're into helping enough, in my opinion. And so I'll make that point on the air. I'll stress that point to people out there because it's important. It's more important. What ends up happening, and Jones talks about this, a great clip I'm gonna go to in a sec here, from the Alex Jones Show. And from last Monday, because he breaks down sort of what it is. If they can get us to do something really stupid, then they can get us to do more stupid things. And so the naked body scanners or the body scanning of, you know, children and seniors and so on at the airport. And as they, we have to treat everyone equally. Everyone's a terrorist. So we're going to make sure that we treat everybody equally. You know, if they can get us to do stuff like that, then they can get us to do more and more of that stuff. And what's ended up happening is, you know, in 1776, say, for argument's sake, they had something called the Committees of Correspondence before the American Revolution. There was a bunch of Americans in different parts, mostly the Northeast, you know, Boston Tea Party and all that. You know, we've heard of the shot that went off at Lexington. And if you haven't heard of these things, essentially America got their independence from England started a war for independence from England in 1776. Because England was taxing them at ridiculous rates. England was saying you had to quarter a soldier. Quarter means give them living quarters. Or the soldier gets to live on your couch, you know, and rifle through your rummage through your fridge. Maybe not have his way with your wife or your daughter. Because if they do, they might not get in that much trouble for it, depending on who they are and who they know and so on. So people were getting really ticked off at this. Kind of like us today getting nailed with vaccines, GMO foods, sterilizing us. Plastic, you know, xenoestrogen from plastic water bottles and soy, feminizing and emasculating all the men, so we become neurotic and helpless. And women, you're not happy about that either, and you get hyperfeminizing, get breast cancer. So it's similar attacks. And what they had was committees of correspondence, where, you know, they would get together and have little meetings. They would write letters. They would formulate their thoughts. They would articulate for their fellow man how they felt about what was happening. Because it was happening, and it was also because they felt it for their fellow man. And if you just try and shy away from confronting the truth about how the world works, then you don't care enough about other people to look deeply enough into this to get out of it. You're mostly just defending yourself. You don't want to go against the herd. You don't want to go against the grain. And people will say that, oh, let people do what they want. Fine. That if you want to surf YouTube and watch Family Guy clips or whatever, play, you know. But if you say you're trying to help these people, and you're not really, Well, hey, we got to know. But somebody who's riding pretty hard for these issues is Alex Jones, and I'm going to let him break down a bit of what guys are supposed to be up to at this time in history, as I often do, because... There we go.
Called if your children aren't eating refrigerator, you've got to break the spatitude.
And in this clip, he's going to go through a little bit of what's happening, his revelations, his realizations. And if he's wrong, he's wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if we're right, then, you know, hey, it is what it is. And it's important for people here in the 21st century in June to realize that if you ask to be treated like children, if you demand it, and I know a lot of people demand to be treated like children. They ask to be treated like children. Oh, that's too this for me. Oh, I don't get it. Oh, no, no. If you demand to be treated like children, it's entirely possible that you will become a child. And that's pretty damn dangerous. Well, you won't be able to handle anything else. If somebody doesn't preach you your food or your information for you, you won't be able to handle it. And then something's going to whack you in the head. So...
break your conditioning. You've got to break the spell you're under. I'm going to go to your calls and back into all the news, or I'll never get to your calls if I continue with the news. But I wanted to just make a point. I was listening to an ad that I cut for solar power generators during the break. And I have a line in there about there's legislation all over the country with smart meters in your home and business where the government controls your thermostats. And it just hit me again that I remember a decade ago they were proposing it in California. I read the government and MIT and other reports. They said we're going to control everybody's house. We're going to have smart refrigerators that track everything that's in your refrigerator. Then CPS will be called if your children aren't eating healthy. Elder care will be called on old people to take them basically to be euthanized. It described to government care, but they're phasing in the euthanasia. Europe already has it. And we're going to remote control people's thermostats. And we're not going to let people have it set at 75, 76. You know, we'll get people trained incrementally to just basically not even have air conditioner. We'll get them, you know, up to 85 or so degrees in the house. For the earth, of course. And now I read articles every week or two without looking of new retirement homes all over the country where they get government grants if they're, quote, smart houses, where there's sensors in the refrigerators tracking everything the old people do. They have elder care popping by as if it's a service. Everyone in Head Start gets CPS visits 3 times a year. That's what the feds have announced as the mandate. You haven't gotten the knock on the door. They're coming. We're now going to have yearly census with them demanding stuff at your door. I was at the lake fishing on the end of a pier 2 weeks ago, and a census worker came out, and I said, I don't live here. I'm fishing. And the guy started asking my name, and I said, look, I'm not answering your question. Get thee gone, government person. I'm not here to be lined up and asked questions by you, the secret police. And I've got the government reports 20 years ago how they plan to have us doing weekly census. And they're going to have an environmental chief on every block that comes in and inspects your house. This is all slave training. What do you think it is when they take your baby's blood at birth for 37 years and put it in a Pentagon database? And now they admit it to you. See, they think you're slaves now. They think you're broke back. Now, I'd tell you about it 15 years ago, you'd laugh. The government would never do that. Now they just admit it and you go, oh, well, I guess it's good. Oh, they're going to put you through naked body scanners and admit they're recording you and your family's genitals and laughing at it. It's so bad they laugh at their own employees' genitals that have to go through it every day until they beat each other up. And they print out Hollywood people's genitals and say, sign this for me. And it comes out in the news and Homeland Security reports admit they're recording your genitals. We're going to record your genitals and we're going to do it because we like it. And now I have mainstream news about brain scanners in the airports. Hundreds of thousands of innocent people were sent to prison for brain scanners. Hundreds of thousands of people were sent to prison for lie detectors, excuse me. Made up quack machines, and they sent them to prison. They sent them to death row. Turns out it's totally made up and fake, basically. It's just a way to trick people into admitting they're lying. Well, now they got even fancier. Now lie detectors aren't admissible in court after 50 years of people exposing them. So now they have quack machines, Robbie the Robot systems that say you're really a terrorist. And they train minimum wage workers on facial expressions that mean you're a terrorist. And they tell them, you know, today we're looking for gray-haired women above 70. They may be terrorists. That's the alert. There's no real alert on 70-year-old women that are terrorists. They're just having you be trained to go after everybody and see everybody as a terrorist. Old men with oxygen tanks are their favorites, or making people in wheelchairs that can't walk, get up, or turning them back. That's in the news. It's all about the absurdity. Training you to accept absurd oppression. Because if they can get you to accept over-the-top ridiculous things, you know, why does the Marine Corps make people call themselves names and chant stupid slogans and beat each other up? Because if they can make you do something stupid, like grabbing your genitals and marching down the middle saying, this is my rifle, this is my gun, this is for fighting, this is for fun. If they can make you do stupid things when they tell you to do other things, you're going to follow those orders. I didn't sign up for mind control. I didn't sign up to be under mind control. You understand that? All right, I'm going to your calls. The point is, it all hit me during the break. Imagine Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, where we now have all over the country, Austin already has it. They didn't ask me last year. They came in my office, and they put smart meters on where they control the thermostats in my office. They didn't ask. They just came and did it. And they're putting smart meters in on gas, on electric, on everything. They didn't ask. And even if I get a generator, the city of Austin now wants a tax on my generator with some little knuckle dragon inspector I've got to deal with. Some control freak that couldn't get a real job but likes to look down on business people that actually work and actually put their own money into things and actually work more than 8 hours a day. Real men that don't enjoy telling people what to do. Go ahead and play it. This is my rifle. This is my gun. This is for fun. This is for fun.
Rifle, this is my gun.
This is for fighting, this is for fun.
It's my rifle, this is my gun.
This is for fighting, this is for fun.
It's my rifle, this is my gun.
This is for fighting, this is for fun.
It's my rifle, this is my
that's
gun.
Enough. The issue is they take your baby's blood secretly. What a creepy, evil government. They naked body scan you and your family and then tell you they're not when on record they are and they're saving all of it. They put in remote control systems to control your thermostat all, from California to Texas. They put brain scanners in the airports. They're training your kids to spy on you. In the public schools, it goes on and on and on. They're going to have you. Weekly censuses now, not just yearly, with control freaks showing up constantly at your door, telling you to violate your own Fifth Amendment. I mean, I can't even go to a public park and stand on the end of a pier and stick a worm on the end of a hook without some 20-year-old zit-faced punk trying to tell me to answer questions. No, I'm not going to. Do you understand? I'm done. I'm done. I'm done! You don't own me, scum! Do you understand that? I know the government is narcotics trafficking, child kidnap trafficking, pedophile trash. I'm calling you out, filth. I know what you are, run by a bunch of degenerate psychological warfare psychiatrists, most of them a bunch of pervs. Have you read the literature they write? Most of them support NAMBLA. Look, the government wants to be able to grab your kids and rape them. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. And you better grow up, ladies and gentlemen. You better grow up. You better grow up right now and admit just how bad it is. Hitler snuck up on the Germans. Lenin snuck up on the commies in Russia. Mao snuck up on those peasants that brought him to power. First thing he did was kill at least 64 million of them. All right, I can't handle anymore. I said I'd go to your calls. It's just so obvious that we shouldn't be putting up with any of this. Any of this. Oh, now the police, first they get fake warrants. The judge would just swear out fake mass warrants in Phoenix, Arizona, in Austin, Texas, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in Buffalo, New York, in Tampa, Florida. It's all federal grants. They have big RVs out there with lazy cops waddling around, randomly pulling people over, letting the illegal aliens go on record, totally drunk, only wanting scum citizens, scum filth citizens they see as their, the prey animal they feed on. They, you know, it's fun. They don't know they're prey to the New World Order as well. And then they would jam needles in people's arms on the side of the highway. And then lawsuits got filed. So the Texas just passed legislation saying, look, we don't need no stinking Fourth Amendment. Take blood whenever you want on the side of the road. No more Fourth Amendment. Oh, it's so fun. And one of my lawyers is a former judge, state judge. And I was a few months ago in his office having a meeting with him. And he just said, I can't believe they passed that law. I can't believe. He goes, this is the end of America. Well, that's why, he's a retired judge. Make more money in private practice. The kind of scum that want to be judges now, they love it. All right, I'm going to stop here in just a minute. Listen, when the government's taking your baby's blood at birth secretly, you got a crook government, okay? When they're putting hundreds of poisons in the water that they know attack your hypothalamus, your sexual organs, your liver, your kidneys, you like bladder cancer? 10 years of one part per million sodium fluoride in studies more than quadruples bladder cancer. You like bladder cancer? It more than doubles bone cancer across the board, more than quadruples it in men. You like bone cancer? Oh, it's real painful, I'm told. You think that's cute? Huh? Oh, you're tough guys, cops, huh? The government gave you a little power. They gave you a little power to violate the Bill of Rights. Well, let me tell you something. You think you're tough? You work for a government that jacks your water supply with chemical weapons. And I'm red-blooded. This is the response you're supposed to have to stuff like this. You can sit there and call. Listen, even if you think I'm a nut, you might as well go research what I said, but no, you won't do that. If you did research it, you'd find out I was telling you the truth. And then if you had any soul, you'd be acting just like I am. This is a normal behavior when people are poisoning your water. Ugh. I'm sorry. See, it just made me mad to be reminded during that break that they're taking control of our thermostats. And now they're announcing they're going to start deciding how much electricity you can have. I mean, this is real. This is real. This isn't a game, people. None of it's a game. None of
Ride like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's one. Ride like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's one. Ride like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's one. Ride like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's one. Race against time for 1,000 years or more. Fine, if that's what it takes, run laps around things on the tape till we take our time. Might flip, do a backflip, trip back, rip a wormhole in time. Might expose their plans, then they plans now and how to stop them from lying. Break down a pyramid scheme right before the pyramid lands on our dreams. Fight for a better way to see kids' dreams and parents not crushed by vaccines. But too long it seems, we too strong it seems for mean greens and SWAT teams. Kiss that dependence on the last but trying greed to try to say what they mean. Ride like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's one. Ride like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's one. Ride like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's one. Ride like you know it's on. Like you know it's one. Nobody really than this, whatever. Everybody been saying that forever. It really ain't clever. So what's the matter? When nothing really matters, idol worship is work on idol chatter. Getting a real breakthrough, same way they stoop. Sage cruise, crush politically correct crews. Copy class, mistral and mass hypnosis. Put them on blast. I'm banging out doses of red chill pills. We can skill at will. Keep it real and still keep our ability to. My agility embedding reality feels like I was sleeping, slipping off propaganda banana peels. Plans within plans, wheels within wheels. Congeal till we feel, they reveal, then we can deal. brush your eyes while I ship and rip a mask off.
Coast to Coast Instrumentals.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That was a clip from the Alex Jones Show for Monday, the 7th of June, a week ago today. Still evergreen as he just kind of goes off on how crazy things are. And I got some news here to break down for you here on the 14th day of June, 2010. Here on CKLN Radio 88.1, CKLN.FM online, Rogers Cable Box 947. My apologies. Last week's shows could not pull off the logger here at the radio station. I was locked out of the logger like the rest of us. And so I couldn't pull and post them, but I will try and pull and post last week's shows. Mostly on the Bilderberg with some flashes of Hollywood thrown in. So real fun stuff. Played a bunch of clips out there just so that we can relate kind of the big tyranny to the small tyranny. And that's why when Jones is talking about energy meters and so on, and you know, I worked at a business near Queen and Bathurst, managed a furniture store, and a guy came in and offering a rebate for us to sign up for the next 5 years, and says, "Oh man, if you get this rebate, you'll save so much money." And I'm like, "Yeah, this is only because they're charging us more, isn't it?" He goes, "Yeah, you know, so you can go with our rebate or some other rebate, but yeah, they're basically going to charge you twice as much and then give you $50 off, you know, if you lock in for a certain term. Or maybe 25 if you don't. So that's the way they're playing it these days. Here in communist Canada, where the government is taking over and managing every aspect of our lives, including the way we communicate and the fact that we don't get as upset about these issues as maybe we should. And when I mean upset, I mean productively upset. Not, you know, because a lot of people can make a pouty face at what's happening and just sort of go, you know, I don't like it. This is not comfortable. Not comfortable to talk about. Not comfortable to deal with. Not comfortable to have going on. Nothing's good. None of it's good. It sucks no matter how you slice it. But actually, you know, upset and productive about it. Like, you know, when you're working out at the gym and you're pushing yourself, you're going, come on, you know, to squeeze one more rep out. You know, when you're trying to push a plate or two on the old bench press thingy there. Or anywhere else for that matter. And that's why, because the info's out there. And while it's you know, it's fun to learn for learning's sake. It's fun to appreciate all this stuff, you know, as trivia and expand your knowledge base. And it really does give you a better understanding of the world, because when you understand the big picture, a lot of the smaller ones start to look clearer as well. The problem is that, you know, it's habitualizing a non-response to this is dangerous. And I know I was yelling about this for quite some time now. I was with a group, still am with a group, although, you know, more informally these days, but called Toronto Truth Seekers. Did fantastic work last year, and I kept warning people. I was like, you know what, if we don't you know, get a move on planning for the G20, then we're not going to do anything for it. And if we normalize, you know, doing nothing, then you know, that's going to become a habit. And thanks to the scientific indoctrination that we're all undergoing, chemical attacks, attacks on our behavior, you know, ways to socialize us, you know, what's cool to talk about, what's not cool to talk about, what's cool to think about, what's not cool to think about, and so on. Thanks to all these different factors, it's going to become harder, at the very least, if not impossible. Bertrand Russell, in his book, The Impact of Science on Society, said that soon it will be as difficult for man to think of rebelling as it is for sheep to think of rebelling against the practice of eating mutton or sheep meat. And that was in 1952. So that was, what is that, 48 years ago? No, 58 years ago. Yeah, 58 years ago. 58 years ago in the impact of science on society. So over the last 58 years, they've tried to accomplish that. And that's why we got to figure out what we're going to do here. Here in Toronto, again, with Toronto Truth Seekers, we had a great response last year to the H1N1 pandemic. But this year, you know, my efforts to try and suggest we should do things, not even get people to do. I don't try and get anyone to do anything. It's not my bag. I can barely get me to do stuff. I worked on 3 tracks over the weekend and want to work on about a dozen, but things take time, and you know, I got to go flyering, hit the city, plastering things everywhere, you know, because that is the most effective thing to do, putting up posters, handing out flyers, DVDs. That is the most effective thing to do. The other stuff, the creative stuff, takes a long time. Music takes mixing and so on. So play today. I don't want this moment to end. To start off the show, a little mini love song about a young lady I ran into again after some time, who she's into me, I'm into her, but the way we think about the world, you know, certainly wasn't compatible, but it is fun to get that kind of energy, and you know, so it'll make you think, because it will get you in touch with a part of yourself that it's good to get in touch with. Then played Rad Like You Know It's On, just a track made kind of standard funky funk, and I have one more to play for you as well. Nobody Narc, Who's Smoking in the Park, which is kind of a fun. Well, you know, it was written after Freedom Fest, and that's a thing. You know, we got such a great city. If this place sucked, I could see why nobody would step up to the plate. Because we've had it so good, we're a little soft. But, you know, there was, you know, 10,000 of us smoking just north of our provincial legislature building on May 1st during Freedom Fest. And so, and smoking marijuana and at a giant pot fest there. Pot and Freedom Fest, Conspiracy Culture at conspiracyculture.com. Great book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Go there, cop some books, cop some DVDs, get your learn on, and burn, and cop a burner and burn some. You can get a spindle of 50 or 100 CDs for, you know, 20, 30 bucks, and a burner, you know, external or whatever burner for, you know, 50, 100 bucks. And then you're in business, and you can choose the information you want to pass on to who you think it's worthy, and it'll force you to think about people more. But you know, to finish off on Toronto Truth Seekers, last year we did a great job with the H1N1 campaign on the streets every week. This year, we're not reacting to the G20. So they took 375 people, and I think we got hit by COINTELPRO too. I think I personally got attacked too. When things are said about you, when people suddenly look at you differently, you wonder, you know, who said what to them, and why was it more compelling than what you say. And so on. So, you know, certainly something there that may or may not have happened. But regardless, this has nothing to do with me. I can't stop anybody from doing anything. And I can't tell anybody to do anything. Nobody can. But we have to make the idea of doing something about our problems reasonable again.
Nobody knocks who's smoking in the park. 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 After dark, spark walk, stumble legal and talk. Yeah, mumble to clear my head instead of grumble off. Trouble wanders off as my eyes get soft and my brain take off to outer space, doing about face on face to face with anything I face. They say weed makes you paranoid. They must be paranoid if most of us chillax is fine. Hope you're not annoyed. Hope you don't mind if I enjoy my unfair share of cancer fight cannabinoids. See the droid we got in charge of policy. Can't smoke, make plastic, food or fuel the economy. Gotta sneak around like they honor me, but I'm under them. We know the truth, so come sing along with me. Nobody knocks who's smoking in the park. Nobody knocks who's smoking in the park. Nobody knocks who's smoking in the park.
Nobody knocks who's smoking in the park. Nobody knocks who's smoking in the park. Nobody knocks who's smoking in the park. Free Rick Simpson and Mark Emery. And while we're at it, when I walk out of my house, free me. While we're at it, please let me roll up these leaves. Be free and excess CO2. See, I love trees. See how we know these facts you thought we lacked. Please see how we know you're whack. We're coming for you here. Triple tap and cap a cap. Stone is what it seems. We need to see the silly Sandy scams leaking from the seams. Conspiracies today. We finally see the conspiracy. And rule number one, no snitching, please. Nobody knock who's smoking in the park. 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 Nobody knock.
Nobody knock
who's smoking in the park.
Nobody knock.
And we're back, CKL and listeners. That's right, nobody narc. Who's smoking in the park? The New World Order, the Anglo-American establishment, the descendants of the colonial masters of the world. The British Empire ran the world for 500 years, never stopped, just laundering a lot of their efforts through their American satellite arm, the Chatham House, or Royal Institute for International Affairs in London, England, at chathamhouse.co.uk or .org or something like that. Chatham House, C-H-A-T-H-A-M-H-O-U-S-E. They run satellite arms, roundtable groups around the world. And they're trying to engineer a snitch culture, you know, filtering down to us, where socially we snitch on each other for what we say. We're always looking to catch each other in, I can't believe you said that. You're such scum. and they try and get us, you know, tripping off that. They try and get us, you know, picking on each other that way. They do have, they're raising the next generation of children to become eco-police, to basically snitch on their parents for the government and say, you know, we, mom, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing this. And to grow up demanding crappier lives and crappier lifestyles. Grow up demanding that and saying, no, we use too much. The previous generation was too bad. In 20 years, the Earth's going to be 1 degree warmer. So we got to drop everything now and go, we got to cut down on carbon dioxide emissions. Not GMO foods, not real environmental threats, but carbon dioxide, what we exhale, that plants inhale to use for photosynthesis and produce oxygen for us. So the more the merrier. And in fact, I interviewed Professor Timothy Ball back in 2007 in March and November to destroy the climate change, global warming. We're all going to die because the climate's changing. When in Toronto, it changes 75 times a day. You know, to destroy that back in March and November of 2007, I interviewed Professor Timothy Ball, veteran climate scientist. And he basically said that, yeah, there have been experiments, greenhouse gases pump in three or more times as much CO2 into greenhouses to help plants grow stronger, faster, have healthier yields. And in areas near industry in the Midwest, they've actually found that the plants actually benefit from having carbon dioxide. Now, there are other things in pollution that are no good for us. There are other carcinogens that are bad for health, bad for the environment, bad for wildlife, and so on. But carbon dioxide, molecule for molecule, pound for pound, is not bad for the earth, and it's not bad for the weather, and it's less than 4% of greenhouse gases, and humans contribute about, you know, 4 or 5% of that 4%, and so we have a real negligible effect on the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and it has a negligible effect on climate change and or global warming. So you can tell I've been saying this stuff for 3+ years now. And this is part and parcel of why, you know, it's on to the next stage for myself, for other people that are knowledgeable about these issues, to get beyond being fascinated about it, to get into something a bit more constructive and productive. But my internet is not working today, folks. I apologize. I had some internet stuff I wanted to work on for you. But again, you can give me at blackkrishna@gmail.com if you have any questions, answers, or suggestions for myself, for my show, or for our radio station. Please do feel free to call in, or email rather, and get in touch. And I will start taking more calls in the show and doing more interviews. But yeah, I'm definitely trying to establish a different paradigm than the one that I see that isn't resulting in enough activism. There's lots of information, and a lot of it's very well documented. But, you know, and it's not the fault of anyone who's putting out, you know, brilliant work, which I benefit from and I educate myself with. But what's the next stage? And here on the cover of the 24-hour newspaper for today, the Sun's satellite, smaller, free publication here in Toronto, it says, "Why Dads Matter. Healthy choices shape healthy children." And just before Father's Day, it might be helpful to put the screws to a couple of dads out there to say, you know what? If you are going to be a dad who's going to protect your little girl or little boy, might be time to get hip to the idea of the risks behind vaccines. Go to VRAN.org to get vaccine exemption forms and pass that on to somebody. And don't even make it a big deal. You don't have to make it your mission or your thing. Or it's, this is who I am now. I am anti-vaccine boy. I did, but nobody else has to do that. But the point is that you can just simply say, look, check it out. You know, even if you're not a parent, you can just check it out. And you can say, you know what? I heard this. I don't even know. It's not even on me. But it might be on you if you feel that that this is a responsibility that you should undertake. So it says here, "Fathers Impact Kids' Choices," from page 16 of the 24. "Making the Mold, QMI Agency. Fatherhood is pretending the present you love most is soap on a rope," said comic Bill Cosby. "Thankfully, we and he know there's a whole lot more to the role, which is about to be celebrated on Sunday, June 20th. We each have our own list. Fathers teach you how to keep your eye on the ball, how to grill a good steak, catch and clean a fish, and how to properly shake someone's hand." I'd say Alex Jones might add, "and how to fight tyranny." but again, back to the article here. "We do know that parents have a major impact on their children's risk of injury through their attitudes and decision-making," is a little sidebar green block here. And so I would agree. You know, they have a lot of effect on the kids' risk of a vaccine injury or an injury from excitotoxins in certain kinds of foods, including MSG. See Dr. Russell Blaylock, B-L-A-Y-L-O-C-K, for more on that. He's a top neurosurgeon. And he can talk about how a few changes in your kid's diet could be a heck of a lot of changes in your kid, including an improvement in their ability to control their behavior because their brain isn't spazzing. By the way, keep a pen and paper on you for these shows. I run into fans once in a while in the street, and they say they like the show, but they're like, "Oh, man, I wish I kept a pen and paper on me." So I'm saying stop wishing. Everybody should always keep a pen and paper, a notebook, a voice recorder on them at all times. Genius, will strike you periodically, and it may be something you may think of something actually worth thinking about again, and if so, or actually worth someone else thinking about. And if that's the case, then you know, keep something on you to record that. Back to the article. "We know our fathers, our leaders, friends, confidants, and role models who influence their children's moral development, and researchers are now noting in what seems to be a flowering of fatherhood science the various ways in which a father's actions and attitudes can impact their child's health and development." Quote, "Fathers are spending more time with children than they ever have in the past," says Dr. Maria Bressoni, a Canadian Institute for Health Research funded researcher from UBC in Vancouver. Dr. Bressoni is particularly interested in learning more about fathers' roles in preventing injuries, the most significant risk to children's health. "Unintentional injuries from causes such as motor vehicle crashes and falls are the leading cause of death and the fourth leading cause of hospitalization for Canadian children," she says. Wow. Quote, "We do know that parents have a major impact on their children's risk of injury through their attitudes and decision-making regarding risky activity as well as appropriate supervision," she explains. "Most of us would say that mothers have had the traditional role of nurturing, while fathers have played the rough-and-tumble role in the interaction with their kids. It's a cliche of sorts, but not entirely without substance, even though we know that daddies can bond with their babies as strongly as moms." Quote, "I'd say that fathers have a role in which they take their child out to the world and expose them to new views and potentially risky experiences while introducing and expanding their children's horizons," she says. Quote, "It is appropriate that fathers take their children out into the world and expose them to risk. What's important for us to understand is how fathers consider and manage that role in the context of making sure that they are not putting their child at increased risk. La 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 la. And there you have it, folks. So basically a dad's job, and Chris Rock's, you know, Chris Rock has said, and these are archetypes. You know, and archetypes are helpful. Stereotypes are helpful. You know, then you know what to say and what not to say. You can't just approach everybody. You can approach everybody with a blank slate to be new to things. But, you know, if somebody asked me, as a guy with an Indian background, you know, hey, man, do you know any good Indian restaurants in the city? I'm not going to be like, you're racist? You think just because like my parents are from India, and just because, like, you know, I'm Indian, you know, while being Canadian, you think that I know any, you know, Indian restaurants? It's like, why didn't you ask the next Chinese guy? You know, heck, most of the Chinese guys in the city probably know better Indian restaurants than I do in this city because they eat out more. But I ain't fronting on the question. That's not racism. That's just an honest question based on an assumption. And you can look and see, you know, what people are like. So those can be helpful. But you got to be open to my answer, which is that, no, I just don't eat out that much. You know, I don't go to fancy restaurants that much. And so I don't know them, but I could name the host and, you know, a couple else. And, you know, Bombay Palace is good. And place in Scarborough, Fredericks, actually, Chinese-Indian food, rather, really good, influences there. What else? I guess that'll do for now. Udupi Palace and Gerrard Street for food from the dirty south. But the point is that the archetypes that we go with, and Chris Rock has said that if the kid can't read, that's mommy's fault. If the kid can't read because ain't no lights on in the house, that's daddy's fault. And so, yeah, guys are supposed to have that protective role in all cultures, you know. And just because, you know, it's cool to be, you know, sophomoric and a frat boy today, you know, doesn't mean that, you know, you give up on what was cool before. I mean, you don't give up on the suit just because bum shirts come in. You still might rack a suit once in a while. And so it's the same damn principle. It's the same principle here. It's the same principle. Sorry, I keep fighting with my computer here. I'm trying to make sure it doesn't shut down on me. But it's the exact same principle. And so in this article, you know, these are general principles. Now, how would you apply these? How do we apply religious principles? How do we apply philosophical principles to information we read? Because you could just read this and you can go, yes, I will do what the article says. I will make my child wear a helmet when they are on a bicycle. I will make my child drive slow on a snowmobile. You know, this made sense. And this is the type of article that makes enough sense, that's perfectly reasonable, that'll keep you having faith in the 24, in the Metro, in the small daily papers, in the value of this medium, even though it, you know, they hide a lot of information that we need to know. But you can expand the principles espoused in this article here from the QMI news agency, courtesy of the 24, into, well, you know, what other risks are there out there that fathers should deal with and should expose their kids to responsibly? There's sex, there's money, there's drugs, there's strangers, there's crime, there's, you know, the New World Order in charge of all that stuff, and so on. And so my attitude here in this culture, here in Canada, at this time, with 12 days to go before the G20, is, you know, they're going to hit us hard. I've been seeing drone planes flying through the air. One almost hit another plane above my head near Queen and Gladstone, just south of Dufferin and Dundas, as I was walking north back home. Staring up at this thing, it's got flashing lights just kind of flashing down on us. It's got like 6-8 lights just flashing down on the ground, kind of like a patrol type, you know, weird vehicle out of Battlestar Galactica or something. And it crisscrosses and just misses another plane in kind of an X pattern, you know, by maybe, I couldn't tell because it's a high altitude, maybe by 1,000 feet. It missed this other plane, which looked like it audibly or visibly tipped to me to try and avoid it. Like you would move your shoulders slightly to avoid somebody passing by you on a sidewalk. Very, very bizarre stuff is going to go down in this city over the next few days. The Star announced that JTF2, Joint Task Force 2, is going to be helping with security at the G20. And we don't even know about Joint Task Force 1, so who knows if they'll be there or if they'll tell us. But that's the point, is that this protest model is used to justify the police state. What we can do instead, and what fathers can do before Father's Day, what
mothers, what all people can do, but certainly what all males age 25 to 45. If you're in that sweet spot, and I've ran it by enough people for about a year or so to know it's pretty solid now, because I basically test things in this culture before I roll them out on a large scale. I'm like, nah, you don't understand, dude. 100 Canadians already co-signed this. Nobody's going, F no. F no, guys shouldn't, you know, males age 25 to 45 shouldn't man up on behalf of women, children, and the elderly if the risk to them is real. F no. Nobody says that. No one said that in a year. So based on that, what can we do? Well, we can certainly pass on DVDs. That's been the most effective thing so far, as certified by not myself, by many other people that are experienced. Pass on DVDs, Follow the Republic, America Free and of Fascism. Let people know about health risks. Let people know about, we passed on a DVD called The Vaccine Agenda last summer. We gave out a lot of those free because the H1N1 threat and other vaccine threats were so pressing. And it had 6 hours on there, three movies or two movies and a presentation. Or two presentations and a movie, rather. Just a history of vaccines for the last 300 years. From Jonas Salk, before Jonas Salk. And let people know, look, you can't argue. And people in this culture know. You know, we've now switched from I don't believe you to I don't want to talk about it. That happened around 2004. In 2004, it was I don't believe you. 2004 was... You know, the war people, they'll still have the war in Iraq might be good. Some people were pro-Bush, pro-Kerry. You know, 9/11 was a hot topic and people thought they could go without it, you know, and not deal with it and still be, you know, hardcore, credible activists. And that still continues to this day. But you know, it's pretty much been exposed now. We pretty much know that there is a giant, you know, banking system that got trillions of dollars in bailouts and that they are really in charge of the world and that they have bosses. And we know about health risks. We read in the paper. The paper just normalizes all this. The news just normalizes all this. You know, threats of a double-dip recession. We're getting double-dipped in propaganda right now that we, you know, whatever brilliant work the powers that be evil have been doing so far just didn't quite pull us out of the recession. They were working so hard for us, weren't they? Like they have been so far to get us to this point. So, can pass on some DVDs. Follow the Republic. Out there, Invisible Empire by Jason Burmis. Go to conspiracyculture.com. Go to Conspiracy Culture, the book and DVD store, Queen and Roncesvalles. Buy a DVD or two, and burn them and hand them out. Make a flyer or two and pass them out. Don't have conversations about this with people who you know don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. That's a non-issue. Just make sure that they get to access this information as a responsible adult. You know, be nice. As you see it, as responsible adult being nice. Put up posters. I found they're very effective. I get the vibe off the streets that people go, look, I may or may not be doing this, but I'm glad people are. Yeah, the G20 thing is total BS. And we got to do something about it. And then the info itself is valuable. You can deal with health, wealth, and relationship issues. And you can give people answers. And if they find those answers stupid... Tell them. If you find these answers stupid, laugh at them. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. You're a grown up. Don't worry about it. If you find these answers smart, appreciate them. Use what you can. Pass on what you like. That's it. You know, to the extent that this was my problem, passing on this information was my solution. And now it's no longer my problem because I found a way to deal with it. And on that note, a couple of quick shout-outs. Check out Infowars.com. Before the People's DJ, Mr. David James takes you on a four-hour jazz experience that you will not want to miss because he is a genius with the jazz, and hopefully you will enjoy that and stick around here on CKLN 88.1 FM. But before I go, I will shout out Infowars.com out there. Amazing stuff happening. In fact, the Bilderberg Group, all these guys are scared. We're getting reports they're scared because there is a mass awakening. I'm only hard on y'all because I don't see enough going on down here. And I know that if we get accustomed to being fearfully quiet about this, and if we're not confident, we have no pride, because pride is the source of all accomplishment. If we have no pride in our ability to deal with the situation, we won't be able to. So definitely we got to get a move on that. But a lot of people are awake, and people do talk, and people do know at this point that there is a new world order, because they are coming out publicly and kind of selling us on their tyranny. So go to Infowars.com to reverse engineer some of their nonsense. VigilantCitizen.com, amazing articles on the mainstream media. And, rats. Uh-oh, the system is shutting down. Uh-oh. I'm getting one of those crazy system shutting down things, folks. Sorry about that. All right, let me see if I can try this. Yeah, no, literally, it says system shut down. The files your computer are damaged. Please restart ASAP. 3, 2, 1. Maybe it won't. All right, anyway. Infowars.com, VigilantCitizen.com, NaturalNews.com. Out there, TrendsResearch.com for wealth, locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com. And there it goes. And no disc? Rats. All right. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to end off the show with a little a cappella here. While I let Mr. James set up and fade him on in. My apologies for that, folks. Again, we are having some minor issues at the station. I might throw an ad up on Craigslist or Kijiji or something just to inquire, as to where we can get a bit of help on these issues. A little community volunteering here at this community radio station. I apologize, but the computer has a virus attack, and so while I restart the computer, I'm going to let Mr. David James settle into the pilot seat. But as I was saying out there, Infowars.com is a great place to go to, as well as NaturalNews.com for the best health information you'll find, as well as Vigilant Citizen, VigilantCitizen. CITIZEN.com. Amazing site that deconstructs pop culture, Lady Gaga videos, Jay-Z, Beyonce stuff, you know, all sorts of things like that. And it's amazing. It's fascinating. And you'll catch articles on there with 900 comments as people are endlessly fascinated, including pop culture junkies who actually appreciate this fairly humane treatment of artists as victims of this culture. We all want to make it to the system. Lady Gaga, fame monster. You know, people talk about the price of fame. Well, the price of fame is that there are people there who are asking for your soul, and that's because they work for the New World Order. So definitely go to VigilantCitizen.com for more on that. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com for the work of a Canadian national treasure and gift to the world, Mr. Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. And he'll give you an amazing big picture overview. So when you see these big ideas pushed in our society, when you see the infantilization of our culture, when you see the recycling of culture as retro comes back in and they want us all to think of Transformers again and Sound of Music and old TV we watched on DVD and how cool that was, it's because they're getting us to live in the past and not be very optimistic about the future. And so you can understand these big plays, going on by going to CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, downloading Mr. Alan Watt's 45-minute MP3 radio shows, commercial-free, and hearing a bit of his wisdom about these issues. Locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, still 375 members, form sort of a gang of sorts of people that are affiliated on these issues. So it's good to grow that, and it's good to communicate about these things. It's good to know that we exist, because all demonstrations of the fact that we are, in fact, the majority at this time of people who believe that there is government and corporate corruption, and that there are wealthy people who are trying to control our culture. The fact that we're the majority at this time is needs to be reflected, so we have more confidence in expressing that. So it's good to join organizations that do that. And then you really do have to live kind of two lives in this culture. And everybody who's deep into this game in terms of communicating it will tell you that. You got to have one side of you that talks about it passionately and creatively. You ready?
Yeah.
Well, whenever you want, man. Just bring it up. I'll fade you up. All right. So, sorry about that. Miscommunication there. Passing the baton off to Mr. David James. The bottom line is that you got to live two lives in this culture. It's fine. It's not your fault. It's the New World Order's. Nothing's your fault. Everything's the New World Order's fault. So get that through your heads and then clear them and then get to work. That's my advice to you here on the 14th of June, 2010. It's been your CKLN Rude Awakening. I leave you with a People's DJ giving you the best jazz you'll find for the next 4 hours here on CKLN 88.1 FM. Have a great day, everybody. Peace out.